Well, good morning, all you coffee shop members. What a great place to be this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for all of you. We will be studying the ministry of Christ Jesus this morning. The ministry of Christ Jesus. Let's open with a word of prayer right before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing me to put together this message, for the Holy Spirit directing me through this as I compiled all of this. We're grateful for all that you do for us, dear Lord, and especially for all of our wonderful Christian members of the coffee shop group, which we are blessed to have. We say thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What was the ministry of Christ Jesus like while he was still on earth? Well, the first thing we need to know is a little bit about the history, starting in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. And let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. You see, Jesus was with God from the beginning. In the book of John 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Well, you can truly see today that Jesus Christ was with God the Father, and was the light of men. Sadly to say, many people walk in darkness and not in the light of Christ Jesus. In this study, I was not able to put Christ's healings and miracles because we would not have the time to do that. It tells us concerning that in John 21:25, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did. If they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. And that's what the scriptures tells us. Another thing we need to look at is the glory of our Father and Jesus. And all these names could apply to Father God and Jesus Christ also. He is the mighty one, Alpha and Omega, the advocate, the author, the authority, perfecter of our faith. He is the bread of life, beloved Son of God, the rock, the bridegroom, chief cornerstone, deliverer, faithful and true. He is the good shepherd, great high priest, head of the church. The I Am, holy servant, the judge. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lamb of God, our hope, redeemer, prophet, son of man, the way, true vine, and the prince of peace. And all these names signify Christ Jesus in his greatness and glory along with the Father. But continuing on, Jesus of Nazareth was a Jewish man born at the end of the first century B.C., He lived and taught in ancient Palestine, a Roman province in the first century AD. Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection are attested in the biblical documents in the first four books of the New Testament, known as the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus was miraculously conceived without sexual union when the Holy Spirit overshadowed his mother Mary. And we find this in Luke 1:35, where it says, "And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." There are two separate geological recordings in the Gospels of Matthew, which tells about Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. Jesus Christ is God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity, our Creator, the resurrected Savior and Redeemer the only means of salvation for sinners. Jesus of Nazareth was a Jewish carpenter and teacher in the first century AD. Jesus is the Christ or Messiah, the anointed one of Israel. He was born as God in the flesh, living amongst men, and taught a new covenant in the Jewish tradition. He was crucified by Roman authorities around 30 AD. After he died, Jesus was buried and rose on the third day to prove his power over death. His life, ministry, miracles, death, and resurrection point to his mission. Jesus Christ is both God and the Savior of the world. As we continue on, we're going to be looking at the lost years of Jesus. The so-called lost years of Jesus occurred from the time when he was 12 years old and he met the Jewish leaders, found in Luke 2:42-52. And we're going to read that scripture right now. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him along among the relatives. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. Continuing on, Jesus, when he was 30 years old, basically his ministry started at 30 when he was baptized by John the Baptist. And we look in Luke 2:42-52. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind. And we just heard this story. It's telling us again the same story in Luke 2:42-52. But supposing him to been in the company, he went a day's journey and sought among him their relatives and acquaintances. Now, so it was, after these 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. So we continue on in verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this thing? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement. And when he went down and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all the things in her heart that she did. It's amazing how the scriptures continue on. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everywhere praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolled it, he found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. They begin by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physicians, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly, I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow in Zephra in the region of Sidon. And there many in Israel leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And you can see right here plainly, this was not Jesus' time to die. And nothing could happen to Jesus until his time was done on the cross. Jesus drives out an impure spirit, continuing on. When he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all, and he came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering with a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying on of hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them, would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Well, around the age of 30, he was baptized by John the Baptist and began ministering as a Jewish teacher. Found in Mark 1, 9 through 15. And where it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting, the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast and the angels, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the gospel.'" Another critical aspect of Jesus' ministry was miracles. The purpose of his miracles was to show that he has power over disease, ailment, nature, and death. Throughout his ministry, Jesus performed the following miracles. And I cannot read all those, but I'm just going to tell you about them briefly as I go down here. He turned water into wine. We find that in John 2, 1 through 11. Jesus healed a paralytic man. We find this in Mark 2, 1 through 12. He healed a withered hand, found in Mark 3, 1 through 3. He calmed a storm, found in Mark 4, 35 through 41. He healed a servant afar, found in Luke 7, 1 through 10. He revived a dead man, found in Luke 7, 11 through 17. He healed a man with leprosy, found in Matthew 8, 2 through 4. Healed a bleeding woman, found in Luke 8, 43 through 48. He healed a man born blind, found in John 9, 1 through 12. He fed the multitude, found in Matthew 14, 13 through 21. He walked on water, found in Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Cast out demons in Matthew 17, 14 through 21. Healed a man with a severe severed ear, found in Luke 22, 50 and 51. And resurrected himself, found in Mark 16, 1 through 7. Jesus' most famous sermon was the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 5, 7. In this collection of sayings, Jesus laid out some of the best known teachings, including the Lord's Prayer. It is Jesus' longest continuous teaching discussion found in the New Testament. And we're going to look at some of that right now. Matthew 7, 7 through 14. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. At the end of Jesus' earthly teaching ministry, Jesus died. Jesus' death is described in all four Gospels. He was crucified on the cross, a punishment reserved for the worst criminals. The Romans were very efficient at killing people. Talking about Jesus' resurrection after he had been crucified on the cross, and we talk about that, we found in Luke 24, 6 through 7, when the women were looking for him, they said, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise again.'" You know, in all four Gospels, we read about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. After a cruel insurrection, Jesus was resurrected with a new glorified body. His new body was unlike his previous body in that he could appear in the midst of his disciples. But it was similar to his previous body in that he could still eat fish. The important fact is that God, the Father, raised Jesus from the dead and loosen the pangs of death for believers. As we continue on, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus must be viewed as God by virtue of the fact that he has the names, attributes, and the authority of God. He does the works of God. He is worshiped as God. God extends as a Trinity, one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and a Holy Spirit. As we continue on, talking about Jesus' divinity is also taught directly in Scripture. The prophet Isaiah confirmed the divinity of the Messiah 700 years before he was born. It tells about it in Isaiah 9:6, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Hebrews taught about Jesus' divinity also, and Paul acknowledged that Jesus' divinity as well, found in Hebrews 1:8, where it says, "But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." And we also find in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was God. When the conclusion of this message, Jesus Christ, though totally sinless, suffered death and God the Father's just wrath. You know what pleased the Father to bruise Jesus Christ for all mankind? He died to satisfy the righteous demands of the holiness and justice of God, his Father. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross, but on the third day he rose again, conquering death, so that all who truly believe in him, repent of their sin, and trust in him rather than their own merit, are able to come back to God and live for eternity with their Creator. Therefore, he who believes on him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is why it's so important we as Christians believe what the Father has done, believe that Jesus died for us on the cross, and believe when we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells inside of us. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful that I was able to share parts of your holy word this morning. We say thank you, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.